It's time for the Apple Watchcast, another great episode full of tips, this time for Apple Watch OS 5 and the new Apple Watch Series 4. This and a whole lot more, it's all coming up next on the Apple Watchcast. The Apple Watchcast is brought to you by the wonderful support of our Patreon subscribers. Become a patron of the Apple Watchcast, and for as little as a dollar a month, you can help us keep producing this show and get a little something extra in return, like access to bonus episodes, Apple Watchcast gear, and even be a guest on the show. So check out our page at patreon.com/applewatchcast to subscribe and become a patron of the Apple Watchcast. This is the Apple Watchcast, episode 254, recorded Monday, October 1st, 2018. Apple Watch OS 5 tips.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device yet, and the number one watch in the world. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Vincent. Welcome to the show, Vincent.
Hey, Tom. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Chris couldn't make it tonight. He's traveling. However, he kind of will be here. He pre-recorded some tips for us. So through the magic of editing, it'll seem as if he's here.
There it is.
He just won't be able to comment on anything we say. anyway, I talked to him today through walkie-talkie. It was very strange. I suddenly heard a voice, and I felt my wrist tapping, and I turned to look at my wrist, and it was the walkie-talkie, and I realized it was Chris. So there he was. So I was using my Series 3 watch, okay, because I'm babying my new one, and I use the Series 3 if I'm kind of doing an activity that might result in maybe an accidental scratch on the watch or whatever. Anyway, I was using my Series 3, and it worked great. It was so easy and effective. It was almost like a commercial for the feature. It was a perfect use of it. Because I was in the middle of doing something, I stopped and just tapped and talked back and forth to him. Done. It was really neat.
You can hear just as well on the 3?
Yeah, it was fine. I was surprised. Okay. On the 4, I'm sure it's even louder. But it was fine. I did not have a problem. I didn't hear the first thing he said because I wasn't really listening for it. You know, and I'm in an area that's got some noise and sound and stuff going on. And I wasn't, you know, expecting to hear Chris coming from my watch. So he did have to repeat the first thing he said. But other than that, the conversation went back and forth just really quick, really smooth. I love this feature. I mean, I think it's the biggest.
Did you have to say, like, over?
Yeah.
Did you?
No. We did not do that. Although there was kind of an awkward ending to the conversation. It was like you almost want something like that instead of just bye or whatever. You almost want to, you know, over.
Yeah.
Over and out. No, over and out. That would be it, right? That would end the conversation. So, anyway, I'm in Virginia Beach this evening. Kind of here for the week, actually. And then we begin our literal cross-country trip. We're going from here to Idaho and Washington State, and that's a very long drive.
Wow.
So, by the way, can I do a quick rant right now on the state of connected car audio with your iPhone? And maybe someone out there knows a solution to this, but why is it that every time I get in the car, start it up, my music starts playing from my iPhone automatically? Who thought this was a useful feature? And there's no way to disable it as far as I can tell, short of disabling Bluetooth altogether, and that's not an elegant solution. So as far as I know, this goes for most Bluetooth in these so-called smart audio systems in cars. There's no way to kill it from the car, you know, audio system, and no way to kill it from the phone with settings that I can find. So, you know, I'm always having to immediately pause the audio with my watch, you know, with the now playing or tell Siri to pause. Both of those are quite annoying to do every time your car starts. Anyway, that's my rant for the evening. If anyone out there knows a solution, let me know. I've looked this up and it's a common problem with all of these audio systems.
Interesting. I usually just turn off my radio.
Yeah, but I need it for navigation. As we're driving, but every time I start the car and stop for gas, I don't want the music to start blasting. Or, you know, it's not just the music. It's whatever you were listening to last.
Right? Yes.
Audiobook, anything.
Last audio, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Picks up again. I mean, sometimes it's a good thing. But it should be an option.
Exactly. That's my point. Why is there not an option in settings to say, do not automatically start playing when connected to a Bluetooth speaker?
All
device, right? Anyway, that's my rant for the night. I promise I won't do any more. So anyway, we haven't done one of these types of episodes in a while, but I thought it was the perfect time to start this, and we'll probably do a few of them here. But to do a tips episode with the new watch, the new Series 4 Apple Watch out and the new Watch OS 5 having been released, there's a whole bunch of new and wonderful options at our fingertips and on our wrists. So we're going to do a roundtable here, kind of taking turns with different tips. And I know, Vincent, you unfortunately you have a little problem because you have a Series 0, and a lot of people do. Mm-hmm. A lot of our listeners do. You have the original watch and cannot update to the Watch OS 5 yet.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
So I guess that's your first tip, is to upgrade your watch so you can upgrade to Watch OS 5.
They're taking orders now.
Yes, but Chris did pre-record a few of these, and I have a few, so we'll go through them, and maybe you can comment on them, and I can get your perspective on it from having a Watch Series 0 version. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me start this off. My first tip here has to do with notifications. Okay, so those wonderful things that we love to get until we don't love them, and they become annoying. Yeah, that you have to have an easier way to deal with these notifications. Now, you used to have to go into the Watch app on the phone and change the settings by each individual app, right, as far as what you get in notifications. Mm-hmm. Well, now, when you get a notification on your Apple Watch, if you simply swipe left, you have the option then of tapping the X to delete the notification, or you can tap on, there's a thing of three dots, a little square with three dots in it. It's called an ellipses or whatever. Anyway, it's three dots. If you tap that, it brings up two more options. And those options are deliver quietly or turn off on Apple Watch.
Wow.
Now, the deliver quietly option will send those notifications from this particular app to the notification center on your iPhone, so you won't miss it, and not appear on your Apple Watch. So it's a great new way to quiet those overactive notifications without, you know, completely nuking them from your phone. You don't have to do that. It's a gentler way to just say, not on the watch right now. Thank you. I love that.
Okay.
Because every app I have, you know, I get into notification overload sometimes with all these devices and all these apps that we have. But that's a great thing that you will look forward to when you actually get your new watch and have Watch OS 5.
It's really fun. I can clearly validate that feature does not exist on the older
exactly.
version.
Exactly.
Right. But you still can swipe left to clear a notification, and you can still force press to clear all. So that's my legacy tip.
Yeah, you get to almost that's your legacy tip. Okay. But you do get to almost kind of mute it for the watch without killing it completely, which is nice.
Very cool.
All right, and then Chris has a tip for us here.
So my first tip has to do with the brightness and text size of the watch face. So with the new watch face, I realized that there certainly is a lot you can do with the brightness. You can have one very, very, very bright screen if you'd like, but it does drain the battery. I've noticed. So what I did, if you go into settings and then brightness and text size, you'll see options for brightness, text size, and then bold text. So brightness has basically high, medium, and low. There's a little toggle on the right and left of the screen, and I keep mine on the medium. So it's kind of in the middle, and I think that works out really well. The text size has six different toggles, or I should say settings. So mine is two notches down from the max. And I went all the way to the top and looked at my watch, and then I went all the way to the bottom and looked at my watch. And when you go all the way to the lowest text, it's kind of small. I can made it work, but it was really kind of iffy. So again, I just set it two toggles down from the max. And then finally, you have something called bold text. It's defaulted to off. I kept mine off. I'm not really a bold text guy, but if you do just hit the toggle on, it'll ask to reboot the watch. So you can do that and you'll be ready to go. And luckily the Apple Watch 4 boots in about half the time than the Apple Watch 3. So again, you have the brightness, the text size, and the bold, and you can customize it to what you want for what you'd like to see on your brand new 44 millimeter watch face.
All right. Thanks for that, Chris. We got a couple more to play from you.
All right.
Go ahead. What?
Nope.
Oh.
Just saying. That was cool.
Okay. Sorry. Let me move on here. Next tip here is this also deals with sort of deals with notification. You can now access the notification center, right, mm-hmm. and the control center from anywhere on the watch, not just from the watch face. So even if you're in an app, you can swipe up for control center and swipe down for notifications. That is a fantastic little update. So you don't have to jump out to the watch face to swipe up or down. Now, doing this can be a little tricky at first. You need to put your finger on the edge of the screen and pause for just a moment before swiping. It actually takes a little getting used to, but it is so much faster than going to the watch face first, going to the control center, and then back to what you were doing. I love this little change. It
very nice.
Speeds things up amazingly with dealing, again, with jumping in and out of control center or notification center to check something. Now, muscle memory, I am so used to hitting that crown mm-hmm. and going right back to my watch face. It takes a little getting used to.
Right.
But it is a very nice change.
Do you still do the double click to get back to the previous app?
To get to the previous app? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
That's still there. That's still there. Yes.
Okay.
I just confirmed that. right. My watch. okay. And then now Chris has another tip for us. Here's Chris.
Okay, Tom. My second tip has to do with time setting. So we don't have time travel anymore, but if you would like, you can set your watch face to be ahead. I'm not really sure why you do this. I think some people do it on their alarm clock in the morning, so they think they're waking up later than they really are. But again, go into settings. And there's something called time. It's just a single setting. And you hit the time. It's at the very top, actually. Hit the time, and you can see that you can set the time ahead as much as you would like. So it does not impact alerts or notifications. They come in at the actual time. But the time on your watch face will be set ahead by the number of minutes that you put into the time setting. So that's just a quick tip for time.
All right, Chris, great. That's another good one. My next one here, this has to do specifically with the new Series 4 watch. So this is something you can look forward to, Vincent. And this concerns the haptic feedback from the crown. Okay, that's new. And as much as I love this new feedback, you know, that when you turn the crown, you actually hear clicking mm-hmm. and you can feel it. It feels like you're actually turning something that is clicking. But there are those that may not like that as much or not at all. Now, but there is a way to change that. If you go to settings on the watch, then you select sounds and haptics. If you scroll down, you can toggle on or off the haptic crown, and your problem is solved. It makes everyone happy. So I'm glad they put that in there as an option. So very that's cool. Pretty nice. Yeah. So some people.
I'd probably keep it on. Yeah. I kind of like that. That's very old-timey. It's on by default.
I think it is on by default. I don't remember having to turn it on. Mm-hmm. I may have just to try it out and then left it on. Mm-hmm. I can't quite remember. That's part of the problem with getting the new watch and the new update to the software so quickly is everything kind of blurs together. And I'm not sure which is watchOS 5 versus the new, you know, the new Series 4 and which ones I turned on and which ones came with it. So I'm sure someone will correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the default is on because I think they want to, you know, make that that's a new feature. So you'd think it would be on.
It's a very skeuomorphic kind of thing.
It is.
Like literally.
It?
Yeah. Bring that back.
You know, they haven't, like Scott Forstall would love that. Because he was the big skeuomorphic guy, wasn't he?
Right.
And I don't know if people understand what that is. Skeuomorphic is something that digitally recreates something analog.
Essentially, or at least visually.
Visually. But in this case, it's a sensory thing. It's what you feel, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is just bizarre, but it does
work.
Yeah, because
when kids grow up, that's not normal, right? That's they're okay with it not clicking. And we've just put it back there so that we can feel nostalgic.
That's true. Is this a feature for older folks like us, I guess?
Maybe.
Maybe, because there's no real need for it, right?
Right.
When you scroll through the cards on Siri or anything like that with the crown, there's no need to have feedback.
There's no gears. Yeah,
there's no gears. There's nothing turning. And I noticed on the phone, the haptic feedback on some stuff too, there really isn't a need for that, but it's there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Anyway, all right. Time for this is the third and final tip, I think, from Chris. Go ahead, Chris.
And Tom, my last tip is around the Siri Watch Face and following sports teams. So the Siri Face, as we've talked about, is enhanced greatly. And when you go into the Siri Face on the Apple Watch app, you'll see three data sources. One is for native watch and phone apps. The second is for third-party apps, and you can just toggle on and off across all those listed apps to bring that information into the Siri Face. But the new key thing is following sports teams, and I found this to be really fantastic this time of the year when you're close to having all four major sports playing at the same time. So what you do is go on the watch app on the phone and go into the Siri Watch Face, and you'll see about halfway down is the sports, and you'll see a hot link for something called Open TV App. So when you select that link, it punches you out, and then you can use the app to select all your sports teams. You can either just search the team, it'll come up, and you select it as a favorite, or you can go into the leagues and select what you want as well. And then when you're done, you just choose done, and you have lined up all the sports teams that you want to follow on the Siri Watch Face. And I've done that over the last week, and it's really neat to see the information come in around the sports teams you follow. I also have the Score app, which gives me the notifications, but I thought the Siri Watch Face is kind of more real-time, and it works very well. But just closing out on the sports teams, I just have to say that I did not follow the Chicago Cubs, so sorry about that. But maybe the Indians and Cubs can meet in the World Series this year. So that's my tips.
All right. Thanks for that, Chris. That's wonderful. Now, I have one more. Actually, I think I have two more here, if you can bear with me. This one concerns Wi-Fi. And there's actually two tips kind of combined here. Number one is that you can now turn off Wi-Fi without having to go into airplane mode.
Oh, that's right.
See, that makes sense.
Yeah, with the little antenna, right?
So, yeah, in the control center on the watch, you will find a new button for Wi-Fi. You just tap it on or off. Boom. That's
okay.
It.
You so don't it's like have, the phone. Yeah.
Yeah. It's again, it's an easier way to control more of it without doing the big nuclear bomb of airplane mode.
Right?
You have to kill all antennas. We just want to turn off Wi-Fi, right? Now
but is airplane mode still do that thing where if you turn it off – on your phone, it turns it off on your watch. But if you turn it back on your phone, it doesn't turn it back on your watch.
Ooh, I'm not sure.
Yeah, because I figured that all the antennas are off. It doesn't know whether or not you went off of airplane mode. And so I think you still right. have to go to your watch, right?
Okay, we'll have to do more testing on that. Yeah. with the new OS. Yeah, we'll have to see if that's really what's happening. If they yeah. if they, it would seem like you it would still be the same, right? Because how would it know?
I don't know. Maybe it's sending something else now.
Yeah, I've got too many things connected to test it right now, but I will test it later. Right. And we'll know for sure. Now, my second tip here on Wi-Fi, and this one's really cool, okay, is that you can now directly connect to a Wi-Fi network from the watch. So if you go to settings on your watch and you select right. Wi-Fi, you can log into a Wi-Fi network right from there. Before, you could only connect if the phone had connected to the Wi-Fi previously, but mm-hmm. no more. One more link to the iPhone has been cut, and the watch is even more independent now.
So you'd have to type in the password?
Yes.
On your watch?
Yes. I haven't tried it.
Okay.
I do believe that's what you do.
That's fun.
In fact, well, you know what? I can try that right now because my watch is not, I don't believe, let me go to, hold on. I got to go to settings and choose that new selection in settings of Wi-Fi. And it's thinking, choose a network. And I am not, all I'm seeing is my phone at the moment.
Okay, the tether mode?
Yeah, because my phone is hotspotting right now. Maybe that's mm-hmm. why. Huh, I will have to test that later.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine you can hop on like hotel Wi-Fi's where the splash screen comes up. Wait, but like the new OS does display a web page, doesn't it?
Yes, completely.
It can do that.
So
yeah.
I don't know why it wouldn't be able to.
Yeah, I guess it's, you can...
If you want to go to the trouble, typing it in. But under Choose Network, I've only got that one.
Hmm. Maybe it's, yeah.
Oh, okay. Hold on. When I tap on my phone as the Wi-Fi,
uh-huh.
on my watch, it popped up asking for the password and Scribble came up.
Oh, Scribble. Okay.
So that's how you're going to do it? That would actually be kind of fast, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Using Scribble. Cool. I'm going to
have to
try that. Yeah.
Scribble is a lot faster in the newer watches, I'm assuming?
Hard to tell. No? I have terrible finger watch face coordination, so I don't know.
Like, I honestly, like, when I do the Scribble, I just pray to God that it, like, autocorrects. like, I just go for it, right? And it's really interesting how it figures it out.
It seems to be the same speed to me, but... As I'm doing it right now, you do it and it takes a slight pause and then the letter jumps up into place, you know?
Right. And you don't know whether it got it. And so now, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I just like, there's a little leap of faith that it picked it up.
Right. Now you can also, it has some arrows, next to your letter
mm-hmm.
that you can tap and then scroll and it's guessing what you meant to write. Is that
okay.
new? Is that new or that was that there before?
I think that was there before.
Yeah. So I scribbled something. It's giving me the choice of, did you mean a number 9, a G, a lowercase G, mm-hmm. an O, mm-hmm. you know? So, yeah.
Yep.
Anyway. Okay. So really cool updates to Wi-Fi. And then this last tip I have, this is what I call the smallest complication you can imagine. and complication, I mean the actual complications that are on your watch. Now, when certain apps are active, you will see a very tiny icon at the very top center of the watch face. Okay? Apps like Maps, Walkie Talkie, Now Playing, and I'm sure there are more, but those are the three I've noticed so far from Apple. And they're there if you have any of those recently opened, okay? And it's a very targeted tap. But if you tap it, it will launch. It'll open up that app for you, right from the watch face. So those just kind of cycle through. When you lift up your watch, you'll see it up at the top if you've got them open. But I did not know that if you tapped it, that it would actually launch that. But it's hard to hit. I mean, we're talking it's so small. It's unbelievably small. Even on this bigger watch face, you know. And in most cases, if I lift my watch, I will see like the little walkie-talkie icon up there. And then it disappears. And I get my regular notification, you know, red dot. So you got to be quick. But if you lift your, if you look at your face, you tap real quickly, you can launch those apps right from the watch face that way. And it's not, it doesn't take up one of your complications, you know.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Spaces. So.
Very cool.
Yeah, very neat. So anyway, that's a good start, I think, here. We'll do another episode of this to give you more and more tips, things we find out as we go through, things that might be helpful. And Chris also... he had a few comments on his new iPhone XS. He actually got a XS. I think you remember from our last episode. Mm-hmm. And we will do a more thorough review as it kind of relates to the watch at a later date when we all have one. And I assume we'll all eventually have one of these phones. But for now, here's Chris again.
So as far as the iPhone XS, I've been using it for 5 days. And just two immediate things I noticed. First, it's heavier. And it's kind of noticeable. So I went online and kind of searched. And the XS is 6.24 ounces or 177 grams. And the iPhone 7 that I was using is 4.87 ounces or 138 grams. So what is that, 20% heavier? Roughly. I'm just doing real quick math. So you definitely notice it, especially you put the case on. It just feels more robust and heavier. Not a big deal, but just something I kind of noticed. And then the second, you know, immediate impression is it's really fast. It just does everything much faster than my iPhone 7, and I kind of love it. So just a handful of first impressions. This isn't a detailed review, but just some things I noticed and really enjoyed right away. As you guys have mentioned, the Face ID is really awesome, but it's really creepy. I thought when you used it, it would show your face and say some kind of validation that's you. But basically for people that don't have the phone yet or do use Face ID, you just pick up the phone and it says Face ID, this little thing spins and then the screen pops up. So it's like, wow, it must have done it. It could actually not do it and fake you out, but it must do something. So the Face ID is really neat. It saves a heck of a lot of time. You know, for example, if you're multitasking in the old world, you had to use your finger or type in your passcode. Here, you just lift the phone up. And then you can use Siri, so you can have a totally touchless experience to do something with your iPhone, and it works fantastic. Makes you much more productive. The screen is awesome. You can tell it's just a much higher quality screen, and I didn't go in and compare the types of screen from the 10 to the 7, but man, it's amazing from the quality. My daughter has an iPhone 10. And we put them side by side, and even this XS looks better and higher quality than just the iPhone 10 that came out last year. So that's kind of neat. And then another item is it takes about 1 minute or less to get used to the fact there's no home button. So as soon as you start swiping with your thumb, it gets pretty easy to do. And after about 5 minutes, you're ready, you're good to go, and you even forgotten the home button is there. I picked up my iPhone 7 to reset it to send it in for my rebate, and I was like, oh, there's a home button, and I had to click it and go through the old way. But it's really neat doing the navigation without the home button. The control center is in the upper right, and you have to kind of swipe down. That's a little different, but again, it's not too bad. And then one thing I noticed, and I tried to go set it, is the battery percentage indicator won't show up on the main screen on your iPhone anymore. There's just no space for it. So it's in the control center. So when you swipe down, you'll see the percentage for your battery. And not a big deal. You can kind of eyeball it as it moves and see where you kind of fit. If you're like, oh, I'm fine, or somewhere in the middle or really low, But I got used to that percentage indicator and I like it. So I tend to use the control center and see where I'm at. So I guess that's it. Just a few things I've noticed. And I guess, you know, if we ever get into reviewing the phone, we can get in more detail. But that's my first impression of the phone.
All right, Chris, thanks for that mini review. It really makes me want to upgrade even more, but I have to wait for just a little bit longer to get the new one. And you're probably going to – you're going to do that too, right, Vince?
Yeah, I'm on the 27th. I'm waiting. I'm counting the days. And
27th. Okay, it's October 1st, so you got a little ways
right.
to go.
Right.
Yeah, when is your watch due, by the way?
Still the 12th or the 19th. 12th through the 19th. So there's that. I still haven't checked the stores to see whether or not the Nike version is there.
Yeah. We're not sure about that. And then I think on the 19th, if I remember correctly, is the new 10R phone will come out.
Mm.
So there'll
the
be a
pirate
lot of,
edition.
Yeah, it's R. there's going to be the 10R. That's the... what is that? That's the Pirates of the Caribbean edition.
Exactly. Right.
What was his name? Captain Jack Sparrow's phone. That's what it is. I want the Sparrow phone, please.
Have you paired your watch to unlock your laptop?
Not yet.
Okay. So I was wondering whether or not if you've done that. Like that's the one thing I do. Like that's the one thing that I realize when I don't have my watch is I can't unlock my computer. And I forget and like, oh man, I have to type it in. But like, I guess you have to do that whole thing all over again if you change watches.
Yes. In fact, when you mentioned that, it's funny you mentioned that because my laptop asked me just the other day, do you want to set this up to unlock with your watch?
Yeah.
And I was in the bit, I was busy. I was in the middle of doing something. I said, no, remind me later. But apparently I need to set that up. However, I have the laptop with the touch bar at the top. So I just use my finger right now, fingerprint to unlock it.
Mm-hmm.
So I never have to really type. But you know, that doesn't work all the time. Sometimes it will require you to have a password.
It doesn't work all the time?
No.
Just that's disappointing.
Well, just like your phone, sometimes if you restart it or done whatever, it won't automatically. It makes you put in that password.
Oh, sometimes it does. Like it restarted or something, right? Okay,
exactly. Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's fine. That's a good security thing, you know.
Okay.
We want
once
that.
In a while.
Yeah. But I will try doing that. Yeah, there's a lot of things I just haven't had time to try out yet. I'm still just in the. In the stage of staring at the beautiful watch face here, and just I'm still amazed at the size of this watch, I really am.
Wow.
It just every day still surprises me when I'm using it. Yeah, you're gonna love it.
All right.
And I strongly suggest anybody who has a Series Zero like you do, if you've been thinking of getting an upgrade, this is a really good one to do. This version, you know, a lot of people say, wait for the next one. It'll be better, better. This one is fantastic. So,
yeah, it's like if you had the iPhone 3S and you waited around, this is the 6. The 6 was solid.
Right. It's exactly.
People hung out on the 6 for a while.
Yeah. I don't want to say they've perfected it because it's not perfect, but they've reached a certain finish point with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is really nice.
I wonder what they're going to do next.
I don't know. As long as the watch bands work, I don't care.
I guess that's a big deal. You know, a lot of people just crying on the Apple Store floor.
Either that or we are very, very quickly going to design and patent an adapter.
I think Johnny's got to think about the adapter.
For your watch, right?
Yeah.
So you can use all your old watch faces with it. Watch bands, sorry, with it. So, wow, that would be terrible, wouldn't it, to have to have an adapter to put on the watch and then put on your watch band?
Yeah, it's going to be lug gate.
Yeah, it would be, wouldn't it? They're never getting away from it. There's just too much investment in it. All right. Moving on, we've got a little bit of listener feedback I was promising to get to. We have to do some of these. It's been a while. So our first one here is from Ryan in North Carolina. Tom and gang, hope you are well. I like the new OS 5 for my Series 2, but love the new Series 4 watches, specifically the 44mm. We'll probably wait one more year for an upgrade to let the prices come down a bit since my watch is still a solid performer. That's a good idea. Mm-hmm. My only beef with OS 5 is on the modular watch face. The power indicator doesn't display 100 when fully charged. Instead, had a it says see the picture that included the one is left off. It's just 00. It says thanks for the great podcast, Ryan. Thank you for your email, Ryan. Now I looked at your this photograph of where on the module one where you had the battery indication, that complication. I don't have a watch face set up exactly like that, but in all of mine, it did display 100. So maybe it's the position that one's in. Have you ever seen that, Vincent?
I have not.
And I was looking at my Series 3, so I wasn't looking at the bigger watch face, and I did not notice it. But that doesn't mean now. If anyone else out there has experienced this, let us know. That may be something that Apple overlooked.
Huh. Yeah. Because it never really is 100.
Mine did display 100 when I had it on the charger.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, 100. Now, it doesn't last long. It jumps down to 99 pretty quick. But it was there.
Oh, his actually shows 00. So that's a problem. Hey, I just discovered a new feature on my watch.
Well, okay, here's your tip. What is that?
You know, when you have the list view, when you double click the or you single click the thing, the apps, and you scroll through them, if you swipe left, you can uninstall it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I did not know that.
You know, that's and I feel embarrassed for not even checking this, but I've been so excited with everything else on the watch. Is grid view still, I wonder, a thing in watchOS 5?
the honeycomb?
Yeah. In 5.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, yeah. I have no idea.
See, yeah. that's what I'm not sure about.
Back to force press, yeah.
So let me see here. Let me check settings and see if it's still
an option. It's force press on the list view, right? Just go to list view and then force press.
Hold on. One second. Go to what? List view.
Just click on the crown once and it takes you to the list of apps and then force press on the screen.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, it's still there.
It's still there. Okay.
Okay. Our logo's okay. There it is. You know what? This is the first time I've looked at the grid view on the new watch.
And it's huge.
It is amazingly huge.
Mm.
Wow. That makes it actually more useful.
Okay.
To move around, and the targets are easier to hit, I think.
Yeah. It's funny, they never demo that anymore.
Yeah. At all. That's why I was afraid it was going away, but it's not. Yeah. It's still there.
Whew, okay. Okay.
I don't have to change the logo yet. Okay, next up. This is from Rob in Houston. Hey, okay. It says, during the Mission Impossible intro in this last Apple keynote, you remember the video that they played?
Mm-hmm.
It says, we all noticed that Allison used Siri through her ear pods hands-free. One other thing I noticed is that Kevin Lynch used his Apple Watch as a security badge to get Allison into the backstage area. He's like, wait, what? He can do that? Can I do that? Our company uses access cards on each floor, and being able to do that with my watch would be incredible. Rob, thank you for your email, Rob. Two things. Mm-hmm. The first one, she's using Siri through her ear pods hands-free. I think that's because did she not raise her wrist first to speak?
I remember her raising her wrist.
Yes. So that's that new feature where you raise your wrist and just speak to, we got to come up with another name.
You can say it. I mean, okay. Everybody else's is like, voice recognition now.
Yeah, okay, that's true. It's tuned to your voice. But that, I do believe she did raise her wrist on that. Now, but the Kevin Lynch thing, the badge, that I don't know that that's an app. I know we talked about a story when Apple did it for its own security, and there was a, an actual – we actually got to see it in use in this video. I think for certain companies, I think you can do that with an app. Can you not?
I would imagine – yeah, I know like Blink, there's another – there's like a security app that allows you to let, you know, yourself in through an app. But like the NFC, it might just be the manufacturer that will create the detector.
Right. It's not done through wallet, is it?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
It's either that or he just strapped his ID card to the back of his
phone. No, no, no. He actually did it. Unlike beaming himself everywhere. I'm sure that wasn't real. But the idea that you can do, I know Apple employees have been able to do that for a while. That is a real thing. And I think other big companies have been implementing it. May have to look into that to see. So there is hope, Rob. It may be possible. Okay. Let's see. Next up is, again, I'm going to apologize for mispronouncing the name. Tamas or Tamas, T-A-M-A-S. Mm-hmm. Tamas, right?
Okay.
Tamas. Tamas. We'll go with Tamas. Hello there, Apple Watch Cast crew. I love the podcast. I'm a completely blind listener slash watch user, so I have invested in the technology since the beta zero. I have a cylindrical jar in which I store my old watches, which now has a series one and a series zero in there. Who knows, some museum or my kids will take it apart someday. Anyway, I was looking at the new features of the series four and also heard the Apple Watchcast, our episode from September 29th. It's a great show, but I was surprised by the fact that so many people want the new watch, and 55% from Series 3 will upgrade. Yeah, that's that little survey, very unscientific, that I did on Twitter, where 55% of the recipients were upgrading to a 4 from 3. Anyway, Tomas says, I feel like everyone is being misled by the Series 4, and here's how. The low heart rate is a feature included in the Series 3. Very few articles failed to mention this, which shocked me. They made it sound like the heart rate features are exclusive to the Series 4, not all of them. Fall detection might be, but remains to be seen. In addition, Series 3 can already do heart rate variability, which mine has been useful to see in the health app. Point B, the new faces are on the old watches. I specifically recall this being asked of Tom, and he said that they are only on the Series 4, not so. Series 3 and maybe one of them, two, not as delightful from what my sighted sister says. It's less animated. And if you check your watch, capacities with 5, it has gone down from 5.6 gigabytes to 4.1 to 5.3 with 5, and now 5.2 gigabytes with 5.1. I believe this is Apple slowly eating up the space on older watches because it's on them to do this. Like a bacteria, your storage on Series 3 and below will slowly mold away with new OS features. By watchOS 6, I doubt any 8-gigabyte watch will have less than 5 gigs available on it. Please mention this also in the show if you can. Thanks for the great podcast. I love it. Every time I listen, sincerely, Tamas. I'll go with Tamas. Sorry about that. Well, thank you for your email. Really do appreciate that. A couple of points. The first one about people being misled. Yes, you are correct. They made a big deal about the heart capabilities, although the other watches we know can do the high heart rate and the low heart rate. What they can't do is the EKG. And the AFib detection, right? Those are two new things in the Series 4. It has been getting a lot of press, and I think you are correct. I think you could set the low rate of your heart to warn you. In other words, my heart goes above this, tell me. If it goes below this, tell me. You can set that threshold, I do believe, in the older versions. Point B, the new watch faces. Okay, a little confusion here with them because there's so many of them. There's the, what is it, the liquid metal and the vapor and the, what's the other one? Liquid metal, vapor, oh, and the fire.
Fire, yeah.
Those are available. If with anybody who can upgrade to the new Watch OS 5, they just display completely differently. Not completely differently, but they're a lot smaller. They don't go edge to edge. They're not as cool, I would say, as they look because they were designed for the new watch. Mm-hmm. But they are there. However, and this may be what you were thinking of when I mentioned it, the new, the complicated watch face, the one that has all those different complications on it, right? Those are not available on the older versions.
Right, right. You won't get real estate.
Yeah, and there's actually, what was it called? Infograph?
Watch something face. Like that.
Yeah. The Infograph one is not available. Neither is the Infograph modular version, which is on the new watch too. Both of those are not available. And a lot of the other watch faces have new added complications, which I don't think are a part of the new, of the older watches. Sorry. So like Mickey Mouse has a new complication curved along the bottom, as does some of the other faces. You'll see these extra little complications in there. And the only reason you get those is there's more room on the screen. That's the only reason you get them. And as far as eating up the space in your, I think that's just inevitable with what is it used to be called feature bloat, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
The more features that are added, the bigger the, although Apple's usually pretty good about it. I do say this is the first time that they've put out an update that they've left behind, Vincent, they've left behind certain users with these new features, and that's the first time with the watch. So we will probably see that again next year.
It's pretty recent. Yeah. I mean, it's been, what, how many years? 3 years?
3 years.
It's a long time. Normally, for an OS update, you could probably go back about 5 or 6 years, right? And a six-year-old Mac could probably still run the latest OS. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I would think perhaps maybe not next year, but year after, Series 1 will no longer work with the latest version. You know, they're going to slowly leave them behind, I think.
I guess so.
Yeah, it's inevitable with technology. That's just kind of what happens. Next up is Dave. Dave says, hello. I traded in my Series 3 cellular for a Series 4 cellular. I wore my watch 23.5 hours a day. 15 minutes of charging while getting ready in the morning got me through the day. Now, it takes an hour to charge the Series 4. Has anyone else noticed this long charging times compared to the Series 3? Thank you, David. Thank you for your email, David. I've not noticed it, but I've not timed it either. I'm doing something different because I kept the 3, my Series 3. I'm wearing that at night for sleep, kind of tracking, monitoring, whatever. And I just throw my 4 on the charger all night and then I switch them in the morning. So I'm always fully loaded when I switch the watches. I'm not watching it, you know, I'm not giving it a certain amount of time to charge. I will try that though and see how long it takes. I've not noticed any, when I did have to charge it, you know, when it did get low at one point, I don't recall it taking an inordinate amount of time. So if anybody else out there has noticed this, let us know.
Yeah. I wonder if, you know, if you charge it overnight, because it's all about topping off, right? I mean, charge it overnight one night and then see whether or not that 15 minute recharge that top off comes back. The
That's a good point. Yeah, if you did try it that way. But yeah, let us know if that changes, David. You know, there's a new update that we mentioned, the 5.0.1. Maybe that addresses some of that because it did have was a charging issue, I do believe.
So to your point about like being able to charge your 4. On your existing chargers. So all of that's the same.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, initially, I set it up with the one that came with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't. I mean, I put it on the same charger I use for everything.
Okay.
Not a problem.
Good deal.
You know, that's another point. Good point, actually, David. What charger are you using? Mm-hmm. And is it the same one you used with your Series 3? You might want to try using the cable that came with your Series 4 just to see if there's any difference. Yeah. I don't think there would be, but you never know.
Scientific method, right?
There you go. Now, what we learned from iFixit this week, mm-hmm. you know, they usually do a teardown of these new devices. They did one on the watch, and again, we'll talk a little bit more about that maybe next week when we get into some news. But one thing I did notice quickly skimming the article was that the battery in the new watch is thinner but longer, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. Therefore, mm-hmm. same amount of battery time. But that's how they're able to give you a thinner watch. Okay?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what they opted for. Mm. Instead of giving us more battery life and keeping it the same thickness, I don't know. I guess that's cool. I mean, I love the watch. I can't argue against that. But if it was a little thicker, would it be? I don't know. I don't know if that would make much of a difference for me.
The same thickness would have been acceptable.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Because it's such a slight difference. But I guess when you spread that out over the surface of the watch as a battery, that could be some significant battery time. I don't know.
This is true. Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. Dennis says, no one else is talking about this, so I thought I'd ask you guys. You may not be in luck here, Dennis. Do any of you guys listen to a password-protected podcast like Rush Limbaugh? And then in parentheses, it says, don't hate. Okay, we're not going to judge you here. Do you listen to any of the password-protected podcasts on your watch via the new podcast app on the watch? None of them load to the watch, nor can I use the watch to start playing them on the phone. The show title is there, but no episodes. Just says, check back soon. Just wondering if you guys have run into any such issues. Other feeds work fine. I suspect there's an issue with the username/password thing. The episodes download fine to the phone, just can't access from the watch. Thanks, Dennis. Thanks for your email, Dennis. And, you know, I've actually not ever, that I can recall, subscribe to a podcast that required a password. Have you ever done that? And nope. I assume that's because it's behind a paywall, perhaps, that you had to pay for these. Or join something, you know, and have the password to protect it. Not experienced that at all. To me, I don't know. I've been doing these podcasts for a long time, and to me, that was the really unique thing about them, was that they were all kind of free and open, that there were no restrictions. And I know there's a lot of media companies getting into podcasting now. And oh, by the way, little tangent, we missed it, of course, but yesterday was National Podcast Day. So happy podcasting to everyone out there listening. That was yesterday. I need to mark that on my calendar for next year. But anyway, I've always seen podcasts as almost like radio, you know, something that's free and unrestricted. But again, more media companies, there's a lot more entertainment coming in. And I can see where this is becoming more and more of a thing. I think simply the watch and its OS hasn't caught up to that yet. With their new app, the podcast app. Keep in mind, it's the first version of the app. Okay, so it can
Software release.
Yeah, exactly. It can only get better from here, and I'm sure they'll add more and more features and refine it as more and more people use it. Mm-hmm. I would say, Dennis, that they won't know there's a problem unless you tell them. So feedback to Apple, let them know that that's something you're interested in, and if enough people do, that may be something that's addressed in the next update. Who knows? But I've not experienced it myself, and that's why I think you're right. I haven't heard anybody else talking about it because I'm just not aware of how many podcasts there are out there like that. But man, it'd be nice if you could, right? I mean, you can type in a password now for Wi-Fi. Don't know why you couldn't with the podcast app, but we'll see. Anyway, thanks to everyone for all your emails and comments. We do love to get them and answering them here on the show, especially thank you for audio comments when we get those. Again, keep those coming. If you'd like play your comment here on the show, just record it and email it to comments@applewatchcast.com, and we'll play it here and answer it that way. It's super simple. Anything else before we set this show on the charger for the night and get that satisfying little ding sound? No?
Well, I had one experience where I tried to pay for a car wash with my Apple Watch. And reaching through the window and waving my wrist like an idiot until I realized I should take off my seatbelt, lean over, and pay for it. But it was all recorded. It was fantastic.
It took
on
it.
The little camera, and it took it. And I was able to pay for a car wash using my watch. It was
nice. Every time I used it today, Apple Pay. I was at a Kohl's store.
Okay.
Yeah, they took it. And but I always had that little fear that when you put your wrist up, it's not going to work. You're going to be that guy who has to then dig into their wallet and give them another form of payment.
I was at HEB and I tried that. I tried first paying with my watch, then my phone, then my credit card, and none of them took.
Oh, so no.
And then finally, three credit cards later.
Oh, my goodness.
It tech. Yeah, it's something funky with the terminal. But
yeah, usually that's what it is. But, you know, the Apple Pay works flawlessly, but I just have this fear that it's not going to work.
Sure.
We're not used to it yet, are we?
Yeah.
But I have to tell you, though, we had coupons for Kohl's. You know, they have rewards, things, or whatever. And they were on the phone, and they were barcodes. So it had bunch of them, right? So she's up there scanning each one, boop, boop, each time, swipe, scan, swipe, scan, swipe, scan. Then to pay, I just went beep, and she gave the receipt and we walked out. I mean, it was completely walletless transaction.
Very cool.
Coupons and all, no paper. It was amazing. Anyway.
There it
Alrighty. Well, I guess that's all the time we have for this episode. Thank you, Vincent, for being here. And thank you, Chris, for pre-recording those tips. I really do appreciate it. And thank you to everyone out there for listening. If you'd like to support our show, check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. It doesn't cost a lot to subscribe, and it does help us to continue to produce this show. So check it out at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. Links to some of the stuff we talk about on each and every show can be found on our website at applewatchcast.com. You can subscribe to us in iTunes or, you know what? I always say iTunes, but whatever repository of podcasts that you listen to, you can subscribe there as well. But if you do subscribe in iTunes, go ahead and leave us a review. We'd love to hear that from you. If you have a question about the Apple Watch, or even about our show, send us an email at comments@applewatchcast.com, and we'll try to address it here on the show. Look for us and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and all the rest. Have a great week. As always, thanks for listening. Until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on iTunes.